We're going to look in John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39, and we're going to talk about the river and the vessel. The river and the vessel. Let's read there. John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I pray that you will give me the words that the Spirit would have me speak to this congregation. And Lord, we know that your word does not return void, and we thank you for it. In your name we pray, amen. Jesus is speaking here in this little passage about the Spirit. And John puts in parentheses, "This he spake of the Spirit, because the Spirit was not yet given." Jesus was giving them some information about the Spirit. You know, later on in the Gospel of John, in chapters 14, 15, and 16, he tells them a few things about the Spirit. He introduces them to the Spirit, and he gives them a few things about what the Spirit's going to be like. He said, "It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I don't go away," he told them that they would be better off with when the Spirit comes than when he was there. He laid that out to them, and he also told them that the same Spirit that was given to the Son, the same Spirit that was given to him, would be given to them, the disciples. He told them that the Holy Spirit would be to the believers the same thing that he was to Jesus. He told them that he would be a comforter for them. Another just like Christ would be there. And so Jesus gives them this little instruction here in chapter 7 about the Spirit being that river of living water. That river of living water that flows from the Spirit. The river of the Spirit. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. A river. There's some pretty big rivers in the world. London is a kind of a different. Most major cities are on a river. Most major cities are on a river. London doesn't have a river running through it. Mom grew up in Josephine, outside of Norton, Virginia, on the banks of the Powell River, and out her back door were these big gigantic boulders. And then right there was the river. And a lot of people, towns were built on rivers. River was a source of moving products, moving merchandise. It was a source of travel and transportation. Rivers were important. Another thing about rivers that is important about a river is that when there's a river, there are the conditions for life. Where there's a river, there's conditions for life. Where there's a river, there is usually fertility. The soil, the area around that river, things will grow. Things will grow. Wherever there's a river, there's an important thing about a river. There's fresh water. That's an important thing. Wherever there's a river, and fresh water is valuable. It's a valuable commodity. That's why in days gone by, before we had the ability to store water and treat water as we do, that cities were built on the banks of rivers. It's a source of fresh water. Another thing about a river is a river continues. It lasts. It keeps flowing. That Powell River that ran behind Papaw's house in Josephine, Virginia, it still runs today, and I can go look at that river. The Kentucky River, all of the rivers of the world, they continue to flow. It's a continual flow. They're persistent. The river is persistent. It will continue to flow. And the river is a place where life and health is produced. A river is an important thing. The river. And so Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. There's going to be that river of living water. Now there's two things to look at here. There's the river that flows, and then there's the belly. That's kind of we don't see that word in Scripture a lot. But I'll want to call it a vessel. There's got to be something that the river is flowing through, this river. The river of living water. There's the vessel and there's the river. There's the vessel. God is always looking for a vessel through which His river can flow. If the river is going to flow, it's going to flow through a believer. It says here, let him that thirst come. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. God is wanting to pour his spirit out, but he's looking for a vessel through which he can allow his spirit to flow. His spirit flows through individual believers and the church. And we have to become that vessel that God desires to have throughout history. Throughout the working of God with man, it has always come through a vessel. If you look all through the scripture, when judgment came, there was a Noah. There was a Noah. When God began to lay out his plan of salvation, there was an Abraham. The flow of his spirit always works through individual vessels that allow themselves to be used by God. The flow of the Spirit. He does not, his river does not flow outside of it operating through you and me. His Spirit always works through a vessel. You look through, he needed a David to step in and to begin that royal line. On the day of Pentecost, he needed 120 believers. And the Bible said that all of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. All 120. Now we see Peter's sermon. Peter's was the man who stood up and preached the sermon. And we see how the river flowed through him that day as the Holy Spirit moved in his life. But all 120 of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. All 120 of them were part of God's moving that day. Because they said, they looked at all of those believers that were speaking in unknown tongues. They saw all the individuals, all 120 of them that had received the gift of the Holy Ghost. All of them were a part of it. They were all vessels that God could use. When there was no word, when the word of God was precious, there was a Samuel that God could work through. When the children of Israel had gone into exile, had been taken into exile in Babylon, there was a Daniel that the Spirit could speak through. There was an Ezekiel that the Spirit could speak through. And Ezekiel, In the book, and we're going to refer to it a little bit more about the river. But in Ezekiel, you see all kinds of strange things in Ezekiel's life, all kinds of strange circumstances that God asked him to do. He had him one day bust a hole in his wall and move his furniture out through that hole in the wall. He had him sit along the side of the road one day and play with bricks and build cities like a little kid would and play war. God had him do that. And what God told him, he said, I want you to do this as a sign to them. But later he said, Ezekiel, when his wife died, and God told Ezekiel, you're not to mourn the death of your wife because you are going to be the sign. You're the sign. What you're doing is going to be the sign. And so when he did not mourn the passing of his wife, the death of his wife, it was a sign to the children of Israel that they had also, that God, they were in the same situation. And that God had lost his bride and had lost, and that they weren't mourning for him. He was the sign. God needed a vessel. God needed a vessel. God desires, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. God desires a vessel. And the question is, are we a prepared vessel? Are we a vessel that God can work through? Yes, some of you students, you have heard this in chapel. A little bit of it. But it's a little bit different, so you'll be okay. You need to be a prepared vessel. God is always looking for a vessel. He's looking for someone that he can pour his spirit through. He's looking for someone that will be a receptor of that river and receive it and let that river flow through them. Because that's what a river does. It goes through. It doesn't stop. It continues. It moves. It moves on and on. It continues. And that's what the flow of the Spirit should be. It's not just a reservoir where we get filled with the Spirit and it sits inside of us, but it's a river that flows through us. It's a moving from, it's an in and an out. It's an in and an out. And that's what God wants to do in his church. He wants to see in his church, just like on that day of Pentecost, 120 that receive and then give out. Freely you receive, freely you shall give. That's what Scripture is, and that's the way God is. God is a giver. He desires for us to be givers as well as we receive the Spirit. He's looking for a vessel that is prepared. In Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5, the Lord told Joshua, he said, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. He said, God's wanting to do something. I'm wanting to do something. There are wonders that I want to do in your midst. There are things that I want to show the world through you. But you've got to sanctify yourself today for the wonders tomorrow. You got to get yourself ready. You got to get yourself ready. Now here in the book of John, if he that believeth on me, you've got to believe on him. You've got to be hungry. He said, if any man thirst, let it. You've got to be thirsty. You've got to be willing to come. You got to be willing to drink, and you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to believe that he will give his Spirit. We've got to prepare ourselves today for the wonders that God wants to do tomorrow. So he was speaking to the children of Israel there, and he said, tomorrow, I'm going to part that water. You guys are going to walk across on dry land. And then a few days later, you're going to conquer Jericho. And then you're going to conquer the next city. And I'm going to give you all of this land. There are wonders that I want to do in your midst. There are things that I desire to accomplish. But you've got to sanctify yourself today. You got to put yourself in a place where the river can flow in and through you. You've got to put yourself in that place. Sanctify yourself. If we will give God our vessel, if we'll say, Lord, I'm setting myself, that's what sanctification is. It's setting myself apart. It's setting myself apart away from the things of the world to the things of God. That's what sanctifying ourselves is. That's what he was telling them to do. They were going to do a few things in the Old Testament. They were going to renew the circumcision there in that circumstance. That was one thing they were going to do. They were going to renew some sacrifices. There were other things that they were going to do to prepare themselves in our lives. We have to sanctify ourselves, set ourselves apart, and say, Lord, I want to be a vessel that your Spirit can flow through. God desires to do things in our life. God wants to meet the needs of believers. He wants to send revival. He wants to send power. He wants to send miracles. He wants the convicting work of the Holy Spirit to be in our midst. He wants to draw us closer to him and make us holy. He wants to do all of these things, but they're going to happen when we say, Lord, I want to be a vessel that your Spirit can flow through. When we desire that. When we desire that. Everything depends. If we're going to see miracles, if we're going to see souls saved, if we're going to see lives changed, it depends on us as individuals and as a church saying, Lord, we want that river flowing. We want it to be a part, and we're going to sanctify ourselves today so that we can see the things that we desire tomorrow. Sanctify yourself. Put yourself in the attitude and the position where God can do His work in our lives. Put yourself in that position where we can be ready to see what God is going to do. So many times in circumstances, we miss opportunities. We say, oh, if I would have only bought that back then. Oh, if I would have only taken this job. If I would have only bought that house, I would have been able to do this or this. And we miss opportunities because we're not prepared. And as a church, I believe there are opportunities. There are blessings in the Spirit that we're not receiving and we're not seeing because as individuals and as a church, we're not prepared for His Spirit to flow through us. We're not prepared for it. God wants to pour His Spirit out. He desires to see that river flowing. It is His desire to work in the church. But He's only going to work through vessels that are ready. Through vessels that are ready. He's looking for a vessel. We want to see Him move. Everything that we do needs the Spirit. Everything I do in my walk as a Christian, everything that I endeavor to do in a victorious life, it happens because of the Spirit. I need the Spirit. I need the Spirit in my prayer life. I need my Spirit. I need the Spirit of God when I look into His Word. I need the Spirit of God when I witness. I need the Spirit of God as a dad. I need the Spirit of God as a teacher. I need the Spirit of God as the principal of a school. I need the Spirit of God as a basketball coach. I need the Spirit of God as a bookkeeper. I need the Spirit of God in everything that I do. And so in your life as well, you need that river. We sometimes separate the sacred from the secular. But everything, every part of a believer's life should be done in the Spirit. It tells us, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with might as to the Lord. Everything that we do should have the power of the Spirit behind it. But are we ready? Do we put ourselves in the place and in the position that the Spirit can flow through us? God desires for us to be that. The parable of the soil. In that parable, we often talk about it in terms of an unbeliever and the gospel coming to them to show them that they're sinners, to show them that there's a Savior, to show them that they can be saved. But I think it can also apply in a Christian's life. The Word of God comes to us often. Is our heart prepared to receive it? God speaks to us week in and week out through this pulpit. God speaks to us week in and week out as we look into His Word and as we have our private devotion times. God speaks to us when we listen to the radio. God speaks, there are times when He's speaking. Is our heart ready to receive it? Is our heart ready to grasp hold of it and actually see God accomplish what He wants to accomplish through it? We have to prepare ourselves. He wants to move. Are we a prepared vessel? So you have those soils. There were some of the hearts that were hardened. And the birds would just come take it away because it just laid there on the top. The Spirit of God wants to move in our life. He does something in our life, but we just let it lay there. And it kind of gets taken away. Or maybe the cares of this life cause us to forget how much we need the Spirit. Forget how important the Spirit is in our life. The cares of this life, and sometimes it's trouble and trials, persecutions that cause us to not be ready to receive the flow of the Spirit. We let other things become bigger in our life than God is. We let other things become bigger. And so we've got to be a prepared vessel. It said, he that is thirsty, he that comes and drinks and believes on me, just as the Scripture said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. If we, the church, if we individual believers will present to God a vessel, that's what Romans 12 said. Present to God a vessel that's holy and acceptable. He will give us that river. That's where we prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He'll give us that river, and we'll see the wonders of tomorrow in our life. That river, we've got to be prepared. We've got to have a life in the Holy Spirit, a life in the Spirit. It starts with prayer. It starts with a walk of holiness. It starts with walking in the Spirit day in and day out, being a receptor of His Spirit and being a conductor of His Spirit. Let the Spirit flow through us. We've got to let the river flow. We've got to let the river flow. In Ezekiel, he had that vision. You know, at the beginning of Ezekiel, he has the vision of the throne of God and that wheel within a wheel and the authority and the power and the majesty of God. And then it moves on in the book of Ezekiel, and you get to a section that gets kind of boring, because he measures the temple, and he measures so many this way and so many that way. And he measures that house of God and its height and its breadth, its length, its depth. And then he talks about how that this was a temple that wasn't built yet, but he was talking about how that God was going to restore the temple and the size of it and all the intricate parts of the furniture that was going to be there. And so he was looking, and then after he goes in chapter 40, he talks about measuring the house in 41 and 42. And then in chapter 47, we have that chapter where he says, I was in that house finally. It was a house that was prepared. See, that's what a vessel that's ready. A vessel that's ready. So in his vision, he saw that house put together just the way that it was supposed to be. Just like they said in Joshua, a vessel that's sanctified. I hate the way that's doing. I'll do my best not to be loud with it. But sanctified today, so tomorrow God's Spirit can move. In Ezekiel, it was chapter 40 that he measured all that out, and they got the house ready. The house was ready. The house was what it needed to be. So that in chapter 47, what is the vision that he sees? He sees that river. That river that came from the altar and then went under the over the threshold of the door and then went down the street. The house was ready. We have to be the vessel. He's looking for someone that he can pour his Spirit out. Ezekiel had that vision of that house. It was all measured. It was all in the right order. When the church gets right, God's going to pour His Spirit out. When I get right, He's going to give me His Spirit. When you get right, He's going to give you His Spirit. We have to have ourselves in a place and an attitude where His Spirit can fill us for His river to flow. That river is going to flow. We see there in Ezekiel, it flowed from the altar, over the threshold of the door, down the street, and then it says that it began to go out. And so, you know, we have the sermon that is often preached there, that fountain of living water, and water to, first he was walking in it. It was up to his ankles, and then it was up to his loins, and then it was up to his neck, and then it was waters to swim in. That's that flow of that river, that flow of that river. But you get down to the end of that chapter, in chapter 47, and it talks about some of the things that the river did, some of the things that the river accomplished. And it says there in verse 8, "Then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed." There was life in that water. There was life in that water, just like a natural river. Just like a natural river, there was life in that water. You go on and read a little bit more. "And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live, whether the river cometh." God wants to put His life in the church. God wants to put His life in you and me. God wants to put the life, the living Spirit, that living water inside of each of us, because He desires for life to be produced. He desires for health to be produced. He desires for that to be in our life. But any man come, Let any man that thirsteth come. We've got to be a ready vessel for his spirit. It goes on to tell us there in Ezekiel chapter 48. It goes on to 47. And it shall come to pass that the fisher shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even unto Egilim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. God wants, and so this reference, fishing, that has a natural reference to the moving of the gospel and the work of the gospel. And God wants to send out. He wants us to become fishers of men. He wants us to see a harvest brought in. He wants us to see us make that catch. But it's going to happen when we allow the Spirit to flow through us. Verse 12. And by the rivers upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. You know, I mentioned about a natural river that it creates the conditions for life, and that's what those verses were telling us, not just natural life, but this spiritual river for spiritual life, that it brought life and healing everywhere that it went. It was fresh water. It healed the waters. You know, the waters of this world, they do not satisfy. They don't last. But that living water that ever floweth. He told that woman at the well, he said, if you knew who was speaking to you, you would ask me to give you water. Because if you drink of the water you're about to get, lady, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I can give you, you'll never thirst again. It's fresh, living water that he wants to give to us. Verse 12, it talks about how that it continues. It just keeps flowing. It just keeps producing. It says there that these trees that were beside that river, and you can kind of see yourself as one of those trees. That as his river flows and as it brings life, it says that it produced new fruit every month. There was newness. There was newness. It just wasn't a one-time thing. But it was a continual thing that the Spirit produced. It was a continual flow of his Spirit, of bringing life, of bringing health, of bringing grace, of bringing hope, of bringing peace for all that came in touch with that river. God desires to see his Spirit poured out. Every evil, every malady of this world, every sickness of heart and life, every sickness of body can be healed, can be changed by the flow of the Spirit of God. His Spirit is able. His Spirit is able. But it's up to us to say, Lord, we want to be that vessel. Are we a house? Are we a church that's ready for your Spirit to flow through? Am I an individual, and am I ready for my belly to be the place where your Spirit flows through? Am I ready? Am I prepared? Am I in a place where that he can do that? And sad to say, I believe that I'm probably not. I'm probably not, because I know within myself that there's other things. There are things God wants to accomplish in my life that's not happening. That's not happening. Why? It's because I'm stopping up the flow of the Spirit. My own fleshly desires. Galatians talks about that. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these things are contrary, the one to the other, so that they cannot do the things that they would. Our flesh is always stopping that up. Our flesh is always stopping that up. We're worried about what somebody's going to think. We're worried about whether this or that's the what we ought to do. Instead of just saying, Lord, I'm going to let the river flow, and I'm going to let you have your way, and I'm going to sanctify myself. I'm going to set myself apart from the world so that your Spirit can flow through me and you can use me. Our pride, our flesh, those are the things that get in the way, and they stop up the flow of the Spirit. Are we ready as a church? Am I ready as an individual for that river to flow? Oh, it's his desire. Don't doubt for a moment. If we don't see revival, it's not because God doesn't desire to see it. If we don't see souls saved, it's not because God doesn't desire to see souls saved. If we don't see miracles, it's not because God doesn't desire to do it. It's because we're not ready. We've got to become those ready vessels that God can flow through, that God can flow through. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, it talks about those gifts of the Spirit and those things that that are important for the church. And in verse 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you." That's Romans 12. I'm not in Corinthians. Sorry, folks. I'll get to Corinthians 12. Here we go. "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God." And I'm going to read the last phrase here in a second. There are things God wants to do. There are gifts He wants to hand out. Verse 5 talks about there are differences of administration. There are ministries that God wants to accomplish. There's gifts He wants to hand out. There are ministries that God wants to accomplish. Verse 6 says, "There are diversities of operation." There are effects that God wants to have take place by His Spirit. He wants to give gifts. He wants ministries to happen. He wants effects. He wants the results to happen. And it says here at the end of verse 6, "It's the same God which worketh all in all." Y'all don't seem too excited about that. He wants all of us to let the river flow through us. All of us. Not the preacher. Not the old deacon. He wants His Spirit to flow through all of us. He wants it all of it, in all of us. He wants all of us to be a vessel. He wants His river to flow in all of its capacity through all of us. Not just a few of us, not just one or two of us, not just this guy over here. He wants all of us, everybody in the church, all in all. All of those gifts, all of those administrations, all of those operations in all believers. It's not just for a few of us, but it's for all of us. We all should say, "Lord, I want to be that receptor of Your river. I want Your river to flow through." We say, "Lord, whatever it takes, wherever You need to put me, whatever You need to do to me, Lord, I want Your river to flow through me." It's His desire. The question is, are we ready? Are we ready? Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You, Lord, that You have more hope in what You can accomplish in this church than we do. Lord, I thank You, You have a bigger vision of what You want to do through me than even I do. Lord, You want to work Your Spirit, all the works of Your Spirit in all of Your believers. And Lord, help us to rise in faith. Help us to rise in faith today to say, "Lord, I'm going to go where You want me to go. I'm going to put myself in that place where Your river can flow. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek Your face. I'm going to look into Your word. I'm going to speak the gospel of truth to others. Lord, I'm going to put myself in that place where Your word, Your Spirit can flow through me." And Lord, help this to be a church, Lord, that's measured just right, that's built just the right way it ought to be, so that Your river can flow from this altar and out the threshold of that door and down the streets of London, Kentucky, and You can affect this community, Lord. Oh, let us be a church that Your river flows through, Lord, that heals this community, Lord, that heals this nation. Lord, let Your body of believers, let the church of Jesus Christ, Lord, be a ready receptor of Your Spirit, and Lord, a ready conductor of the flow of Your Spirit to this world. Lord, help us today. God, give us a desire to be filled with Your Spirit individually. Help us, give us a desire to be filled with Your Spirit as a church, Lord, moving forward, ready vessels for You to work and for You to move. Let's stand together. Praise the name of the Lord.